We've obligated approximately $200 billion of the spending money. Spending is 449 of the 787. And in addition, we have distributed about $60 billion of the $289 billion in tax funds. There's a lot of different ways to create percentages for that. You can say that we're over 30% of the money has been distributed either in obligations or in taxes in about 28% of the amount of time between now and the end of September of 2010, which is the goal that CBO and OMB have set out for that purpose. We're really quite pleased with the pace of obligations. We think that the money has been getting out. It's been getting to people, whether it's tax relief in their paycheck every week or whether it's the $250 stimulus payments or whether it's unemployment insurance or whether it's relief for state budgets in terms of Medicaid assistance or state fiscal assistance payments. All of these things have been happening. The initial phase of stimulus was designed to be almost an economic rescue package, trying to rescue the economy from falling off a cliff. We then move into a recovery package and beyond recovery into an overall reinvestment package. And the rescue phase is well underway. The recovery phase with highway projects and school construction projects and other is also in place. And we're beginning to see the reinvestment, whether that be high-speed rail or broadband or smart grid, or last week it was electric battery programs. The president announced $3.4 billion in grants for electric batteries. So we're very excited about what's going on.
And I want to touch on the battery thing because that was a speculation of news over the weekend. But the interesting thing about getting this money out there is it almost seems like you're a little bit of a catch-22. You get it out there too fast and the system just can't handle it. You don't get it out there fast enough and people say, why is it taking so long to get this money out there? Does it feel a little bit sometimes like you're caught in that weird space?
No, we're really not. We have a very orderly group of agencies, and the agencies are using the policies and procedures that they would normally use for these programs, and they're meeting their deadlines, and they're getting money out to their counterparts in state governments and local governments or for the direct federal spending projects at DOD and GSA and elsewhere. The Corps of Engineers, they're committing their funds in an orderly way, typically faster than if they were doing the contracting in a normal federal procurement. They tend to be working more quickly. We also see good signs that small businesses are getting the direct federal awards in a percentage in the low 20s, which is something we have as a target.
And yet I hear from some agencies almost the level of concern, and in fact a government executive last week issued a survey showing that federal executives were sort of nervous that with all the promise of recovery spending, they were afraid that any waste, fraud, and abuse that may happen out of that, they're going to get blamed.
Well, you know, we're not in the blame game. What we're trying to do is build in procedures up front so that to the extent that there is a small amount of unwise spending or there is a small amount after the fact of errors that occurred in spending, that we catch those quickly and that we address them. No program is perfect. There is no tolerance that is perfect in any program. In the Second World War, a phrase was brought into play that has been really misused over time. When the tolerances, the machined tolerances of parts and aircraft assemblies and others were acceptable to the federal government, they were said to be close enough. The tolerances were small enough for government work. And what we want to make sure is that the tolerances in these programs are acceptable for recovery. I don't know that any agency has been, quote, blamed, unquote, for errors along the way. We certainly spend a lot of time talking to them and working with them about how to avoid errors. But at the same time, we realize that we need to balance the pace of spending with any overzealousness about avoiding errors. And that's what I do every day.
And so for those feds out there who are in that sort of nervous state, what do you say to them to sort of reassure them that that this is all going to get done?
Semper vigilante. we have to always be vigilant on the one hand, but at the same time, we need to meet the deadlines that your agencies have put in place for spending and that others have put in place for spending. There is no magic formula for any of this, and anxiety means that we'll be careful. If I'm anxious when I'm driving down a superhighway about the guy in back of me and the guy on either side of me, I'll be careful in my driving. I'll try to go the speed limit, not too fast, not too slow. I'll make sure that other drivers are where I can see them at all times. I'm anxious, but at the same time, I'm going 65 miles an hour or 55 if it's a 55 zone.
There have been some almost odd stories that that have come out, and I know you commented on one a couple weeks ago about food, and then sort of people said, well, look, we're giving away food and kind of weird things. And also the batteries story came out last weekend about you know, a lot of this money going to overseas companies. It seems like you guys, the administration, can get a little bit tarred by these things depending on where $787 billion ends up landing.
Yeah, we don't see it as getting tarred. There are people who did not vote for the stimulus program and do not support the stimulus program and are continuously looking for any way possible to criticize the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. I think the Ham report that you specify was an important one. People were suggesting that we were spending hundreds of thousands of dollars a pound for ham, which was on its face foolish. What we were doing is spending roughly $1.51 a pound to buy ham and get it distributed to food banks, because as part of the rescue portion of the program, supplemental nutrition and money going directly to, goods in this case, going directly to food banks is important. It's what Congress specified that we do, and we did it. So these kinds of critiques, if you will, are by people who are anxious to prove that the Recovery and Reinvestment Act isn't working. In some cases, they're anxious to do it for political purposes. We just simply take that as a condition of life and keep moving.
Are there some lessons learned that people can take away from this that will almost help feds do better, help government be better off as a result? Things that we've learned in terms of getting this amount of money out through this process that we can then take, and government processes will be better off as a result?
Absolutely. We have some beautiful collaborations that are currently going on in the area of broadband technology. We've created a single notice of funds availability across two departments to take applications from rural areas and urban areas across America in and make our decisions simultaneously on appropriations in two departments. We think that's a terrific way to do things. Secondly, in a similar collaboration effort was between HUD and the Department of Energy, where the Department of Energy, which has never been in the income verification business before, has been willing to rely on HUD helping them certify various applications for the weatherization program. We see that kind of collaboration as being an absolute necessity. You can't do things serially. You have to do things simultaneously. So simultaneous execution with collaborative processes, dare I say networked kind of activities where people work together in a networked way. We have two calls a week among the various people who are involved in being the principal officials in their departments for stimulus. And each week there is one or more issues that comes up where groups of agencies will work together to try to deal with something. So this week it was coordination of training for reporting, for recipient reporting across different kinds of constituents. It just naturally came up in the call. The group formed as a result of that. There had been centralized training, and they wanted to do some specialized training as well. So they formed a little group to do specialized training in certain groups. So collaboration, networking, these are different service delivery and different models of executing federal spending.